Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lorow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. I have a great show, and I'm really honored to have our guests on tonight. A couple weeks ago, we had June Millington on from Fanny, another innovator and a person that opened the door for a lot of rock guitarists, women guitarists, and bands actually. And she was one of the innovators, one of the first successful bands. But tonight we even have a more special person that was one of the people that opened the door for women in classical guitar music. And also, too, she's the thing I really like about her is she's done a lot for the repertoire, and she's branched out, and she uses the guitar for a lot of different styles and music. She's doing songwriting and singing, and the music that you'll hear tonight, we're gonna explore that a little bit. But she's truly one of the innovators, killer sound, killer tone, and. We're just very blessed to have her on the show. I just want to give you, I mean, truly, she has the title, the First Lady of Guitar. She truly deserves it. She's a five-time winner of Classical Guitarist of the Year for Guitar Player, five times winner of the Juno Awards, which is the Canadian equivalent to the Canadian, to our Grammys, but the Canadian Grammys. And she's just done some amazing, just amazing stuff. She won the Order of Canada, the Order of Ontario, very prestigious stuff. And she studied with Andres Segovia, Eli Kastner, Narciso Yepes, if I'm saying it right, Oriol Diaz, and Julian Bream. So she's studied with some pretty major people. Has a couple of doctorates, by the way, and. Our guest also with her, and I'm very honored to have him on, is Peter Bond, who produced the last two albums and produced the stuff that we are going to talk about tonight, some of the clips that we're going to show tonight. He's another one, Juno Award winner. He's produced and arranged for Pavlo, and he's engineered for Charlotte Church Enchantment, one of my favorite bands he's engineered for, the Afro Celts, the Seed album, very cool album. He's engineered six seasons of the Canadian Idol, the Canadian version of American Idol. Knows his stuff, and he's done some amazing arrangements on her Leona's albums. So I want to welcome Leona Boyd and Peter Bond. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, Jeff. Lovely to be with you. And, you know, I lived in L.A.
That's right.
A real treat. Looking forward to the show.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and play a clip that Leona sent me, the Marionette Dance. It was from a clip of her live in Tokyo. And I want to show that, and we'll compare it, and then I'm going to play another clip from one of her newer albums. So let me play this one real fast and take a listen to this. You're going to love it. I mean, if you want to talk technique, this is technique. That's some nice playing. My hands are aching trying to figure out how to do that. But
Brave. I did a lot of pen in, and it was a live concert I did in Tokyo that they recorded many years ago.
What guitar were you using there?
I was using, believe it or not, a Yamaha guitar that they built specially for me. They basically copied the Ramirez guitars that I'd been playing for many years. And they built me two really beautiful guitars that I even played a Yamaha guitar for the King and Queen of Spain once. And I was hoping they didn't ask me what guitar I was playing.
Now, I'm going to play a clip real quick from one of your more recent album, The Return to Canada with Love. And this is a cut from The Spirit of the Canadian Northlands. And it's a good – it kind of shows you the evolution. Now, that was a live cut that we just played. This is a studio thing. But what I want everybody to listen to is the tone, the execution of the sound of her guitar. It's just killer. Here, let me play this clip. To die for. I mean, that's
thank
just
you,
like,
Jeff.
But I noticed that. I mean, I know there's reverb on that and it's and stuff, but the sustain of the guitar, you can hear it. The guitar just rings.
Well, I wanted to capture these spaces, the lakes, the forests, the majesty of the north of Canada where I'm living now. And of course, Peter knew how to do the perfect reverbs. And I just, you know, he did beautiful orchestrations for this piece. And I often open my live shows with this, especially here in Canada, because, you know, we identify with the landscape that it's portraying. So thank you. No, Peter really knows how to mic guitar.
Now, which guitar were you using on this?
one made in LA. It's a Herman Vasquez Rubio guitar, and I've been playing those since about 2008. Now, when I first discovered those guitars, and I've probably gone through, well, quite a few. I mean, some I've retrofitted with different microphones for playing live. Mm-hmm. I had a system once that Strunz and Farrar, also LA residents, they showed me. And you know, you really need, when you're playing with tracks, you need some kind of amplification. Mm-hmm. But I think also I pay great attention to my fingernails. The quality of the tone is very individual to every guitarist, but I'm always polishing my nails and cutting them a certain way, and I've been kind of a fanatic about not getting big squeaks and things on the guitar. Mm-hmm. Some guitarists don't seem to make mind too much, and sometimes it's sort of part of the style. But being classically trained, you know, I studied in Europe and very much wanted to emulate Segovia and, you know, Christopher Parkening, who didn't make mm-hmm. many squeaks either. So
Leona has a magic tone that there's a kind of mystical thing to it for me, because anyone can pick up the same guitar, and if she picks it up, literally it sounds like a completely different instrument.
Oh, thank you.
So she projects. She makes that sound that you hear is actually the sound that she makes, but my job is to sort of enhance it and give it a place to live. But there is a, from the beginning, before you even talk about microphones and so forth, there's actual magical thing that she does, which is an amazing thing that
must
I'm
be
just
my
trying
fingernails.
To capture and enhance.
Well, the string noise is always a problem, especially because usually, like for a session, I'll restring as I need to. And that, even on the steel string, it's hard to get that clean. A lot of players, it's part of their sound, but you're right. There's no string noise there. Now, I know there's some types of strings that you can buy that it's a little bit easier to keep it quiet. But
we're talking also about different tonalities. Different guitarists, I guess, play with different parts of the fingernails or different quality mm-hmm. of fingernails. So I guess I'm lucky. I've got pretty strong nails, but I put crazy glue when I go on a tour just to reinforce them, but mm-hmm. not on the very tips, because if you put it on the tips, it'll make it more brittle sounding and more trebly. Mm-hmm. And I like a really mellow sound, as you can tell from my recordings.
So your technique and your fingering on the fretboard, you're basically keeping it's part of your technique to keep that finger, the string noise out.
Right. Part of it is that.
Right. Because it is, I mean, it's noticeable. And, it's clean.
And Peter, for instance, when he's playing his electric guitar, he doesn't use any nails.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well,
that's your technique on your Stratocaster.
It's interesting because I think that was partly how you're trained, right? Leona, to not be making squeaks and so forth. Like that
right.
was part of your training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because Michael Savona, who plays with her, he's actually sort of learned that from Leona, because so many classical players aren't taught that at all. And now he plays super clean, and that's completely Leona's influence.
He calls me the right. squeak patrol because yeah. I'm recording. When he makes a great squeak, it gives me a guilty look.
In a lot of stuff that's happened in contemporary music, when they use classical guitar, even in soundtracks and scores, they ignore that. I mean, you can hear the string noise. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting because I remember when I studied at SC, that was a big deal. It was, you know, they didn't like it if you squeaked too much. They, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm. so. But in folk guitar, I mean, it's part of the sound, isn't it? Flamenco, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And listen, in live concerts these days, maybe I'm not as fanatic as I used to be when I was strictly doing classical.
Mm-hmm.
So. Michael's getting fewer squeaks, and I'm probably getting more.
Really?
No, Peter's shaking his head.
Now,
anyway, but it's just I really like to go after a good tone, and the nails are very important in that, but then mm-hmm. there's just some other quality. I don't know what it is, but that's the beauty of the guitar. I mean, we are playing the most beautiful instrument in the world. We want to do it justice, so we need a good instrument. I started off on a sort of $5 guitar that my parents brought back from Spain. And, I wanted to mention to you, if the first thing that you'll hear if you go into the National Guitar Museum, it's touring all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Portland right now, but you hear me playing Malagueña, and that one has got, I think, more, what is it, Peter? It's almost
close to
3 million hits on YouTube. Somebody I don't know put it up a few years ago, but that's pretty good for Malagueña that I did years ago in a live concert. Never, ever imagining so many people would be watching me play it. on the yet to be invented internet.
Well, that's great. No, I mean it's, and I have to. I'll look that up and see if it's playing around here. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that whole the museum. But the before I get into the recording and talking to Peter with the recording, when you did this out these two albums. Now we're going to be looking at Winter Fantasy and then the Return to Canada with Love. Do you use different guitars? Because there's a lot of multi-guitar parts. There's obviously, you have several guitars in some of the songs, and we'll show some of that in a minute. But
yes,
do you change the guitars? Because they do have a different character to them, the different parts that you're doing. And I was wondering if that's your playing on the same guitar, or is it the different guitars? Because I, for session work, when I would double guitar parts, I always used a different guitar. I found it.
That's interesting. No, mostly I'm using, it's one I call orange because it sounds kind of orangey and has an orange color, Vasquez Rubio. Michael Savona, who accompanies me a lot, he uses one, I don't really know this guitar maker, Paolo Coriani is the name in Italian, because he is an Italian-Canadian. I have used different ones, but on these records, on the Seven Journeys and the Return to Canada with Love and the Winter Fantasy, the Christmas one, yes, it's basically been the orange guitar. That's a 2008 Vasquez Rubio.
A lot of the distinction you're hearing is if it's either Michael or Leona. So their tone, their guitar sound
brighter,
is very
yeah.
different. Yeah, and it's just very, it's a very different sound. Or it might be the treatments.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm doing strumming, so that'll sound different than when I'm doing the melodies, and Peter probably gives it a different, right? You want to brighten it up a little bit sometimes if I'm doing rhythm.
Yeah, or a different spatial context. But the truth is we've actually tried different guitars, but we almost 95% of the time go to this one guitar which has some kind of magic in the studio that others, even of the same model, don't seem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me play a clip, and you can tell me what you did here, because this is, I think, is the one that, well, there's different guitars in this, and you can hear it. There's a left and right guitar, and then the main melody, but you can hear things going on. And I know you do a lot of technique. You have a great mute tone when you mute. You do the mute. It's great.
Oh, thank you. But I also vary a lot, you know, towards the bridge. I get a metallic sound. I use a lot of harmonics on this Christmas album because it's just, you know, a beautiful bell-like sound. But some of it is just different angles of the nails, but maybe it makes it sound like another guitar. Let's listen.
Okay, let's listen. This is Catalan Christmas.
You know, that was actually done live in the studio with Michael and I playing together.
Oh,
he's on his guitar and I'm on mine.
But I mean, okay, that makes sense. Because I'm like, the characteristic of the two guitars, they're different. I'm like, wow, how does she do that? Well, it's two different people.
That's Michael and I. And those are two folk songs, Catalan folk songs. But why we called it Catalan, let's see, Christmas medley is the first one, which he didn't play, is what is it called? El Noi de la Mare, actually the son of the mother, it really is a Christmas song from Catalonia. So I wanted to sneak that piece onto the Christmas record, onto the Winter Fantasy.
It's a beautiful piece, and just again, you're playing. It's really clean, And I noticed that even when you like slide into a note or you do a pull off, like a little triplet pull off or something like that, in some of the pieces, they're just clean. There's no noise.
Oh, thank you very much. We love that.
Now I'm going to notice that, and it's like, how does she do that? I'm going to have to practice.
It's also, too, if she's playing, a really simple melodic line, there's just such an amazing amount of expression in it. It's so beautiful. I mean, the beauty is there. So, you know, and I'll tell you something interesting about that. It was the two of them live in the studio, and one of the challenges I had with it is that Leona, because of her magic and her technique, she projects so much that if you listen to the actual room mics, she's so much louder than him. And it's, again, it's a kind of mystical thing that I can't explain. But anyway.
No, but it, even though there is the difference, it does balance. It makes sense.
Absolutely.
Musically, it makes sense.
And that's a favorite piece live when she plays.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. love doing that live. And actually, Michael did that arrangement.
Yeah, yes. I really do. The Return is just a great album. I mean, I love it. I love this. It has like a folk song sense to it, even though it's not, you know, I mean, you're pulling these from different, I presume, from Canadian melodies that are like folk melodies?
No, they're all mine.
They're all original. Well, then, okay.
Everyone is original, except in the French-Canadian one. The school, I have, Peter and I went and we recorded some, the French school kids all singing some folk melodies. Those are the only ones. The rest, I wrote all the melodies.
Oh, that's
and all the lyrics too, yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has that type of, how to describe it, like that
classic.
Type of, yeah, it's like a, you know, like you.
Timeless.
Because, you know, you hear a lot of people take a folk melody and make it into, you know.
No, it isn't. I mean, I was actually afraid that I might have accidentally stolen something in the Maritimes one because it sounds so Celtic, so, you know. But I checked with about four people who know everything from the Maritimes. They said, no, it is. You've definitely captured the mood. But I've toured a lot out there. The Maritimes are the eastern provinces of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, nobody's been able to recognize it. So I do believe it's original. But any time you write a melody, and I love writing melodies, they come to me usually quite naturally. You always think, oh, my goodness, did Puccini write this first, or have I somehow drawn on something I heard years ago?
Because mm-hmm.
There's only eight notes, but so far nobody's ever recognized the melody I've written, and I've written hundreds and hundreds.
Well, one of the things that I was talking about earlier about the way that you've kind of pushed the bar and expanded the repertoire is you've done a lot of you've done a lot of interesting things. You had done an album with. I think Eric Clapton was on it.
Mm-hmm. Persona. David Gilmour, Eric Clapton.
Persona
Yo-Yo
was
Ma.
The first one where you basically just you because I was, you know, in the 60s and stuff. I loved that period of time because everybody was like mixing and matching and exploring. And I think that you were successful with starting with Persona and even on through all these other albums. I mean,
I had to reproduce that all live. I did 50 concerts with a live band and trucks and lights and sound and ice machines, and you wouldn't believe how complicated it made my life for a while. But it was amazing to work with Michael Kamen in London, England. Yes.
Yes. No. And but I mean, it was great because you really did. You just kind of pushed it, and I think what I hear in the music here again, you're creating more repertoire, and I think that's something that. Guitar needs. I mean, it's a definite, it's a must that we got to add more and more. I mean, it's mm-hmm. true. There's the classics, and the classics have their place and stuff. But there's, there's other musicians that I've seen that have done that. Another guy we've had on before was Andrew York. He writes a lot of stuff, and it's very, very, you know, it's good because it's healthy for the whole classical guitar genre, because we need more music.
Yes, I remember Andrew York, and there's one album I did called Classically Yours. I recorded it over in the San Fernando Valley,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote all the music, things like Asturiana, Madrileña, and I dedicated one to Christopher Parkening, Habanera, and I wish more classical guitarists would play some of my pieces. I don't think Chris is playing anymore, but it would have been great. And I do have many, many pieces that are on my website, classicalguitar.com. So I'd be very honored if some up-and-coming guitarists would record in some of the concertos I've written, too, along with Richard Fortin.
So you can get the sheet music for the pieces?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now that's another thing that's great, because a lot of people don't publish the music. The Andrew was one of the guys that I know that does that. You can get sheet music for that. So classicalguitar.com, that's important.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky to grab that.
No, that's great, because that's the only way we're going to be able to play this stuff. I mean, it's really important that that people have access to the music, and that's good to know. I didn't know that, because I didn't.
Well, I don't have all, you know, I mean, the Christmas, they're all kind of scribbly notes that I haven't written out properly. I keep intending to, but quite a lot of my repertoire is available.
Is the return available?
Through the website.
Is the return available? Is that?
Actually, no.
Eventually.
Eventually it will be, yes.
Oh, okay. No, that's good. No, I strongly nudge you to do that. I think that's really important. So people
can every winter I go down. I have a house in Florida. I go down. I intend to copy music, and then I start doing another album or writing a book, because I have a new autobiography coming out. So I intend again, but whether it'll get done, I don't know. I keep having other ideas for the music I want to create.
Well, speaking of Maritimes, remember, let me go ahead and play the clip of that so we can take a listen to see what you were talking about. This is another great one. The tone. The guitar is just beautiful. Now, I was just showing the guitar piece, so when I start fading out, you start hearing the vocals, but you get a little idea of where she's taking the song. So let me play this. This is Maritimes Remembered. That's a great tune.
Pirates and Spanish gold or something. Yes. I like to do that live.
That's the bridge,
too.
Of course.
Yeah, that's just the bridge bit. Right.
Let's talk a little bit about, I want to direct this one to Peter, about how to capture, we talked a little bit before the show, how you capture her sound, because it's a full sound, and then you're orchestrating behind her, and it doesn't get in the way. It's you know, because that type of a deep, rich classical guitar tone, I know from my own experience in trying to record classical guitar, I mean, my technique is not even close to Leona's, but it was always, I had to thin it out a little bit or something, but you were able to get it pretty clean, and even with multiple guitars, everything is so clear. How do you do that?
It's because the same philosophy exists in how it's recorded, how it's arranged and everything, which is why, although I wear all the hats, that takes a long time to do things. It's also, you know, I need that. I need to control the vision of it. And Leona and I have a sort of symbiotic creative relationship there. So like I said, she does this magic thing. And what I want to do is enhance it and magnify it. So in those songs, especially, I want that guitar to sound like it's 20 feet tall. And, so I just figured the best thing I can do is capture what I'm hearing in the room, which is moving me so much, and just try to bring that to the audience and bring it into a universe that supports it. So if you want, I can talk a little bit about how it's actually, you know, what it's actually mic'd.
Yeah.
There's the main body of the sound is coming from an M149 tube mic, a Neumann M149, and that's going into a Manly Voxbox preamp. And then there's also another mic, an AKG C12, which is near the neck. And that one's going to an Avalon 737 tube preamp. And then all that's going into an Avid Euphonics console into Pro Tools HDX. So,
you're telling all your secrets.
Yeah,
Peter.
I'm giving away the... Yeah, but I know that no one can recreate that, because I spent a long time aiming the mics, and I actually put the one on the body kind of off axis in a way where it's not too close, getting too much resonance and or too much boominess, because I want, like I said, she projects, and I want to get a sound that's close but doesn't sound like a mic'd guitar. It's supposed to feel like just the essence of it is right there hovering over the speakers, and
so
hopefully that's what I'm doing.
Are you miking close, or are you pulling it back to let the to get some
it's,
of the air?
It's like I said, it's like if you looked at it, it's kind of weird, because I actually tipped the mic down a bit, so it's cardioid, but it's not straight on her. And I also wear headphones and move it around until I get the sound right each time. So it's close mic, but not like close mic'd in a way where it sounds like an amplified guitar. I don't actually want it to sound like that. I want it to sound like I said, Leona's natural tone with the air moving in the room, but heightened in a way where, you know, in the context of the arrangement heightens it, the reverb, so forth, heighten it. But it's all about reinforcing what's naturally there. And, you know,
but every room is a little bit different. We've been recording in one studio here in Toronto, but we have recorded in other ones. Mm-hmm. And as Peter's done quite a bit of live recording, too. I mean, you've recorded choirs and different voices, right?
Is the room that you recorded the these two albums that we're playing, was that that room pretty live, or was it a pretty dead room? Or
no, actually, it's called the Rose Room. It's a Toronto studio, and the guy who built it likes to record jazz and a lot of natural stuff. So actually, the room I used in here is fairly dry, but it's very extremely flat. Like in terms, it's very, very true. And although there are some times when we use the big studio to get a more ambient sound, so there are actually different times. And I'll also even move mics for a more distant effect. I try to do a lot of things acoustically even before I start getting to the mixing stage and trying to get that sound. You'd be amazed how little actual EQ and so forth is on the sound. I get most of the sound to tape.
But we did all kinds of tricks. Peter initiated all kinds of tricks when we were recording at Zolas for percussion. We were jumping on the studio floor. You were getting,
that's a whole other
thing. So many different sounds in something like Silver Birch, trying to capture the native quality and a lot of different instruments. And Ron Korb, who is a friend of mine, plays all these amazing flutes. Anyway, I know you want to talk about guitar, but
Peter is also
a very excellent guitarist, and he...
There's lots of electric guitar and stuff you're hearing, which is
you're hearing Peter playing on the.
Electric. Okay, so there's some of the stuff in the back that
is electric.
Almost all of it. Yeah. On the Christmas album, right?
A lot of the textures that you probably in Winter Fantasy that you think are keyboards are actually guitar. That album has a lot of me on it too. Okay. But I'm never in her way, and I'm never playing nylon string.
Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me play a clip. Christmas Through the Looking Glass. Because I was asking, there was like a guitar, and it sounded like a synth trail behind her guitar. Is that? I'm just curious if that's your electric guitar behind her.
So let's listen.
Let's play this clip. This is Christmas Through the Looking Glass, and this is from Winter Fantasy. Some of that harmonic stuff is that electric guitar doing that?
No, it isn't.
That's me.
Actually, at the end, when it goes to the guitars left, right, that's actually Michael and Leona live in the studio. And that bookends the piece. So you were playing there at the end. Mm-hmm. And even in the first part of that where you think there's a synth tail, it actually isn't. That's actually an effect on her. So that's actually all that sustain is coming through this effect, which is the one particular reverb, which actually sits mono. And it has modulation on it, so it almost sounds like a synthy thing, but that's actually just a thing that's being created by her playing. There's no synth in that particular.
It had an interesting characteristic. For a minute, I thought it was like some type of a sample of like almost like an oboe.
There is in that one part. You're right. Yeah, there is. You're right. Oh, okay. Exactly what that is. But after that part, it just guitars.
Okay.
Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah.
Don't give me credit for making the oboe sound.
No, the oboe sound is right. That is an oboe, and that's
I'm like, wow. If you can get an oboe out of that,
Or as Richard Fortin, who was my arranger for many years, he's from Quebec. He used to call it the hobo. Very cute.
Now, in terms of the structure, when you guys are working on a song, because there's a lot of them, Peter, you're doing a lot of orchestration in there.
Yes.
And it's obvious that it's just not simple pads. Coloring it and you're accenting certain parts of what she's playing.
It's trial and error. He builds it up. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying because you're hearing that because people think, oh, you're just playing keyboards. No, I actually literally am often tweaking every note. every phrase, everything dynamically. I feel like a sort of conductor of a large orchestra.
And he gets in the zone and goes on for like 24 hours straight.
No, I totally relate to that. The thing is that when you set up the song now, Leona, do you write it out for him and then he goes from there, or
it depends where I am. No, I don't write it out. I record it when I'm away from Toronto. I've been using something called a One when I'm recording Florida, and I send him like the demos, and I write out a score usually, like when I did Huron Carol or some of the Christmas ones. I wrote them up in the in July in a beautiful lake resort that a girlfriend of mine has, and so I write out an actual score, mm-hmm. and then came into the studio and recorded that, and then Peter starts creating the arrangement around it. It's always that I first of all give him a melody, we start with that, and then adding chords, then I often add arpeggios, or I'll bring Michael in and he will add some things too. But the basic arrangement, we're always on the same page. Like he really does deliver the vision that I have originally, which mm-hmm. is great. We've never really had conflicts.
Now, Peter, do you chart it out for yourself, or do you just...
No, I don't actually read. I do everything by ear.
Amazing.
So, I have an understanding, and actually I have an understanding of how things look. I just have like, but if I, the descriptions I used would
make sense. He's not formally trained.
To anybody. It's just, but I've, you know, been playing music since I was 8.
And so. His father used to play, mother used to play classical music to him. So Peter went to study at, what was it?
Full Sail
in Florida, which is one of the top schools for engineering, but he's very familiar with classical music too, so he has that background. But no, it's mostly instinctive. Even though I have a degree in music, a lot of my writing is instinctive too. I'm not really always following the rules. In fact, I like to break the rules in, like Through the Looking Glass. Is that the one where we do weird, unexpected kind of modulations? Suddenly you're in a different world. Like we did this beautiful album together called Seven Journeys, Music for the Soul and the Imagination. It's very mm-hmm. cinematic, very Enya-like, kind of Vangelis. And that's the beauty, that you're not following the rules and suddenly, you know, you're around another bend in the river and there's a whole new landscape. And I like to surprise the listener like that, and Peter does too. So he follows my meandering sometimes.
Well, the clip that I'm going to play at the end of the show is the ending of the Spirit of the Canadian Northlands, which reminded me, I'm glad you said that, because it did remind me of a kind of a Vangelis thing.
I'm glad.
And I mean, it's like Vangelis usually use like saxophone or something like that to do the melody, and here it's like classical guitar and Vangelis. Oh. So it's a beautiful piece, and that's we'll play that in a little bit. But let me I'm going to play the end of the Huron Carol and Coventry Carol, and this is another good example of the layering that you guys do, and you can tell me what's going on there. I like the rhythmic counterpoint that you're doing now. Let me know.
Is this a bit with tambora where I'm hitting the bridge with the wrist to get a drum like effect? Is this the bit?
I think so. Let me play it and you tell me what's going on. And if it's you or both of you guys playing, you and I forget his name, the other guy.
Okay. Michael Savona.
Michael, yes.
Michael. Okay, here, let me play the clip. It's a beautiful clip.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely using tambora to create that native feel, but a lot of harmonics. And Petey, what else?
Yeah, and there is an example of that's all that bell stuff you hear on the top, that's electric guitar.
Okay.
And you hear those slides, that harmony slide, that's electric
that's
as well.
Okay,
so that's me on my 56 Strat.
Okay. Is there – I heard something really like a steel string in the way in the background near the beginning of it. Is that what we're using?
That's
you
electric.
Have good ears, yeah. Jeff. Very yeah, good ears. Congratulations.
I'm so happy you picked out a Vangelis reference in spirit. That's great.
No.
Any sort of steely textures are electric.
Okay.
Yeah. But the harmonics, though, done on the classical.
Oh no, guitar. No! You can tell that I you can your harmonics are very distinctive. It's definitely I have to say, you're the only one I know that sounds like that. I mean,
that's amazing.
Well,
what
you know who the harmonic harmonics. Expert was is Lenny Bro, and I did a record in Nashville years ago with Chet Atkins and met Lenny Bro there, and I taught him some techniques, but he took the harmonic techniques to the ultimate, and I don't think anybody does harmonics like him. It's really sad he's no longer with us, but of course he was a jazz player and amazing, and Canadian too.
Mm-hmm. Now, and also on that clip that we just played, you're doing the strumming too? You're doing all the guitars?
Yes.
Besides the electrics that were...
it's Michael.
I thought
it's
I was strumming. I don't know half the time.
No, it's there's
oh,
Michael
that's right.
There
Michael's doing the... Yeah, he's doing the strumming.
And actually, we have to give... that song is very much the three of us, and Michael did fantastic work on that too.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy to accompany me. But no, what happens, you don't remember, in Huron, at one point, we alternate.
Yeah.
And then I do the strumming.
Yeah.
And then he does a melodic bit. So it's actually an interchange. But I think the bit that you picked out was probably Michael doing the strumming.
Okay, let me play. I have another clip of that a little earlier in the piece. And this has a little bit of the flute that you were talking about. Let me play that because it's just cool. It sounds great. But we can talk a little more about how that piece developed. So let me play this clip from the Huron Carol and Coventry Carol. That's a credit to your mixing too, because that flute's just right behind it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling Christmassy already?
That's
Coventry Carol.
It's a beautiful piece, and it reminds me of like Ravel type orchestration where they double instruments and they'll make a different. It makes it into a different timbre, a different instrument.
Oh. Well, sometimes Peter and I are doing like those slides or us together. He's on the electric.
Lots of electric in that bit too. Yeah.
Yeah, and
we're doubling each other.
That kind
or
of
harmonizing.
That sustaining pad, is that the Strat?
Partly, yeah.
Okay, but it's interesting because the whole thing, like Ravel's most famous for the bolero, but what he did is he would double instruments in a way to create a different timbre.
Yeah, and that's another really good observation. That makes me happy that you're getting that, because that's very much what I'm doing. It's I like to layer things, and then that creates its own tone.
He layers voices and guitars.
Yeah, but you hear that there's the bells, the flute, there's playing electric, there's Leona, and it's the combination creates something new.
Yeah,
it's not even that you're thinking of it as a layer. You're thinking of it as a new timbre. Exactly what you said. So that's
right, and it's subtle because you got to really listen, and you can hear the breath of the flute and the vibrato. But in general, it's kind of like just part of the guitar, and it's and that's tricky to do. I have to kudos for you on that because it sounds great. It just really the now in that kind of a situation too. Now you you had a flute player come in, right? That's not a sample.
Oh, that's Ron Korb. He is an amazing flute player. He's joined me live sometimes. He was on one of the quite a lot on Camino Latino, a Latin album I did. Mm-hmm. That I know gets a lot of play. That's and on the return. Yes, he's been wonderful. He lives in Toronto too, and he plays brilliant. All kinds of ethnic flutes. So we have him playing all kinds of different native flutes, Chinese flutes. Let's see what else. I don't know. And he has a golden flute.
Oh wow!
Traditional Western flute that he's played too. Mm-hmm. It's solid gold.
I'll tell you really quickly an interesting story about that particular piece. The accompanying guitar, which is playing that sort of baroque part in Coventry Carol, mm-hmm. the second half, that's Michael Savona's arrangement, but it's also my arrangement because he gave me a demo of what he was doing, and I actually took what he did, converted it polyphonically to MIDI, and altered the part. And he's a good enough player that he actually was able to play my altered part.
Oh,
so that's a really interesting bit of collaboration, which only exists with modern technology.
Yeah.
Because I would think, oh, I wish he'd played this note, or what if he muted this here, or what if he went to that? And it was kind of neat because I was not, even though I am a guitarist, I was doing it in this other way and thinking, is this even playable? And he played it exactly, and it has this wonderful baroque thing, and that's a kind of interesting, anyway, it's an interesting sort of technology story, creative story.
I'm always
story.
Giving Peter challenges, too, because Huron Carol was in a different tempo than Coventry Carol, different time signature. Yeah. So he actually did it as two different pieces, right? And then
it's actually technically two different recordings. You can hear that transitions from one to the other as she, mm-hmm. and also it moves time signatures and tempos,
yeah,
but you don't even feel it. It just feels organic.
Fun to do in concert. You just memorize sort of how the tempo goes, and suddenly you're in a whole.
And that was all done naturally. What I did was I let Leona play it the way she wanted to, and I have the whole track basically. I created a conductor track that slaves everything to her. So, I'm always trying to get everything's built around Leona and her expression and what she's like. It's all about building a beautiful place for her.
Well, and to credit to your ear, Leona. It works.
Well, I'm kind of a perfectionist, and so is Peter. So we're, I make massive notes. We do a lot of tweaking and making sure that everything is balanced.
But not tweaking the life out of it either.
That's not tech. I mean, on the Winter Fantasy, I wouldn't say there's anything terribly technically challenging. Not like some of the concertos I played in the past, or even some of those Panin pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There was one. Panin, by the way, I should have said he's an amazing, eccentric Russian composer, and I believe it's kind of a sad story that he's no longer doing that. He went off and became an artist because he wasn't recognized by the Soviet Union. I hope he came back to playing guitar. I had the honor of talking with him and was introduced by Jean-Pierre Jumez. But I helped encourage a lot of contemporary composers, but I still love melody, and that's where working on the albums now with Peter, because it's melody is everything to me, and I love writing melodies, and singing is a whole new chapter of my life, which mm-hmm. I don't know whether you're going to play any vocal ones, but I've added a lot of singing to my live concerts and to my recordings.
Well, let me ask real quick, you're going to be coming out next year with a new album. Is that going to be a lot of vocals in it?
Yes, it's called No Remedy for Love, which is a quote by Thoreau, and there's a lot of, it is basically all vocals, but a lot of guitar, too.
Oh, okay, because, there's never enough time. We're almost out of time right now, but there's never enough time that just means you have to come back, because I want to have you come back next year when that album comes out, and we will go into more, and at that point, we'll talk, I want to talk about your vocal thing. Show I was focusing on your guitar because I was kind of
yes.
giving a comparison.
Oh, okay.
But what I want to do is because that's another thing, you're it's different writing with vocal and guitar. That's a different type of, there's a different way to look at it than just writing like solo guitar pieces. And I think that's interesting. I've had a couple of songwriters on, and I want to get more into that because I think I want to see what you've discovered by doing, especially these last few albums where you're doing more vocal pieces with guitar, because it's more than just accompaniment, because you're doing some counterpunnel things in the album mm-hmm. against the voice. And, I'm from my rock and roll days, The one group that actually used to do that in progressive rock was Genesis, where Peter Gabriel was like another instrument compared to the guitars and the keyboards and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they would answer. I think Peter would gets it. Yeah. Where you would just, you know, instead of just a singer with a company behind them, it was like it was another
more interactive.
It's an instrument working. You know, going head to head with the other instruments. I think, yes.
Well, that's what, you know, when I left LA and I came to Toronto, I was so worried that was I going to be able to find a classical guitarist who could also sing? But, you know, it was a really fine player. So Michael has been a godsend. And when I was living in Florida, I worked with Sergeant Javoyer, and then I moved up to Connecticut. I've sort of moved around, but I always wanted someone who had a good classical technique, you know, to match mine so we could be doing classical guitar, and that there aren't too many classical guitarists who sing. Mm-hmm. But I felt it's sort of my destiny coming full circle, because ever since I was about 5, I was writing little poems, so I was fascinated with words and rhymes and poetic expression. But I would never abandon the classical guitar, because I think it's the most beautiful instrument ever. So I'm very lucky that I can still do both.
No, it just opens another area. I think it's just
She was actually writing songs, you know, pop songs or, you know, folk songs back even in the 70s, that nobody knew.
Well, I didn't have the courage to sing.
Just keeping it to herself.
I had a secret hobby. I have files and files of songs.
Do you think we might hear some of those at some point?
Awesome.
Well, No Remedy is definitely the new album that's coming out. Is definitely like these are.
Well, I did Dig Summer.
I call them songs. Oh, you mean the old ones from the
No, but like If Only, I wrote If Only Love, I remember, and it became an instrumental. That was on an album I did called The Romantic Guitar of Leona Boyd. It was all instrumental. And then when I was doing the album with Sergeant Javoy, he's the Croatian guitarist I did 17 love songs with, he said, you know, we should do that. And I said, do the song you wrote all those years ago that I did write lyrics to, but never thought I'd be singing it. And same with Lullaby for My Love, who I wrote for my former husband who lives in LA, Jack Simon. I was in love and inspired, and I wrote an instrumental. And then many years later, I wrote the lyrics, and that was on the, which one is that on?
Leona
it's on
Sing
the,
Songs of Love.
Leona Boyd Sing Songs of Love album. Right.
No, I think it's great. I look forward to this album, No Remedy for Love. I want to hear this. I think
we're very proud of it.
Yeah, we think it's
the
best
album.
We're
super excited about it.
Do we have an idea when it's going to be released?
Hopefully in May. Yes,
May, okay.
May on Universal, yeah. It'll be on iTunes, too.
Around the world, yeah.
Okay, two quick questions, because I know we're almost out of time, and I know you have to go because you have to wake up really early tomorrow.
Oh, 5 a.m., yes.
But the real quick, number one to Leona, do you do anything else besides the nail file? What do you do? I know, like, I learned at SC – Duke Miller taught me to use a shell stone that, you know, for sharpening knives to like polish the tip of the nail. Do you do really? Something else to make it smoother, or you just use a straight like a nail file?
No, I use some kind of sandpaper that I got years and years ago.
Okay.
I still have a supply. I used it just an emery board basically, and then
you
polish
it
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if I'm practicing a lot, I'm going to wear out my nails. I do something. I stick tape, that like blue sticky. What is it called? Painter's tape.
Mm-hmm.
I can stick that around the nails so that I don't wear out the nails too much, because I'm going to be on a tour. Sometimes they don't crack, but they can get sort of scuffed up.
Okay.
A little bit of crazy glue too always helps. Chet Atkins taught me that.
Okay, and then a quick question for Peter. When you were recording Michael and her together, did you do two mics on each of them?
I did. Similar technique for each.
Similar technique for each.
Yeah.
And then
was curious. I had similar mics on each, although not exactly the same.
Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show. It's really an honor.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
And I just want to mention www.leonaboyd.com. Check that out. And I'm going to check out www.classicalguitar.com, and let's check out the sheet music.
Well, it's the same. They're actually the same site, leonaboyd.com and classicalguitar.com.
Oh, it is?
And thank you for letting me bring Peter on. This is the first show we've ever done together.
Oh, yeah, Peter, you're awesome. And you need to post up – I'll have to post up a picture of your Strat. I want to – that's a whole other show talking about your equipment. But also I want to mention peterbond.squarespace.com. Check it out. There's pictures and stuff, and it kind of talks about all the different things that Peter's done. And for a person that – claims that not to be trained, you definitely have an ear for arranging, because it's just amazing the counterpoint and the way you voice stuff, I would have sworn that you studied.
Well, thank you. I did study in the sense that I absorbed and I did study, just not formally.
Okay.
But I've had my head in completely in music for 30 years.
He's a real techie. He was pulling apart radios when he was 5 years old or something. No.
And I want to mention real quick, the two albums we were talking about tonight is The Return to Canada with Love and The Winter Fantasy, which is the Christmas album. I'm going to close with the end piece of Spirit of the Canadian Northlands. And this is the one that I was mentioning to Peter that has that kind of Vangelis feel, and I think you'll agree. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. And we're very impressed with your knowledge and your ears and your perception of this and your appreciation. Thank you so much.
That means a lot. And I want to thank Jim Crockett for putting us together. If it wasn't
Oh,
him,
yes.
I would,
and give my love to L.A. I miss you guys.
You got to come back. If you do come back, I'll have you in studio. You got to come by. I mean,
that would be great.
Thank you. I was there last year. I'll have to come back again.
Yes.
You never know.
Yes. But anyway, we will have you back on, and we will stay tuned for No Remedy for Love. We're going to talk about that. That's coming up. We'll do that next year when it comes out. So everybody have a great week. Thank you again, Peter, Leona. You guys are the best. And
thank you.
This is Canadian We got the Spirit of the Canadian Northlands. This is the end piece. Everybody have a great night.